Ever wonder why you feel like a complete zombie when your alarm goes off after 8 hours, if you're even lucky enough to get that much sleep? As college students, it feels almost impossible for us to get enough sleep. We're constantly told to get 8 hours, but is that really the magic number? Did you know that throughout the night, your body cycles through periods of light sleep and very deep sleep? Most people's sleep cycles tend to last 90 minutes, so if you aim for 8 hours, your alarm is likely to go off just as you're diving into deeper sleep. Try aiming for 7.5 hours of sleep and see how you feel in the morning. If you feel great, you probably nailed it and found your sleep cycle. If you don't feel perfect just yet, test out an 85 or 95 minute sleep cycle instead. Not only will you feel great in the mornings once you discover your magic number, you'll also add about 30 minutes of valuable time to your day.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to WMUC Digital College Park, where college radio means good radio. This is your host, Grace Adkins, and this is my show, Off the Shelf, which is every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to noon, if you're on the East Coast, that is. Hi, everyone. It's good to be back. I took last week off because I had a big exam that I was studying for, but now I'm back for a show, and then I'll be gone next week because I'll be in beautiful, sunny Puerto Rico for spring break, but then we'll be back after that, and it'll be almost April, which is crazy. But this week, we are going to be talking about a topic and doing a show that I've been wanting to do for a while, since I read an article recently about the resurgence of play as like a counterculture in Gen Z and in like today's youth. And the article was kind of inspired by Alyssa Liu's performance at the Olympics, who, if you don't know who that is, Alyssa Liu is a gold medal winning at the Olympics figure skater for the United States. She's 20 years old, and she's been competitive skating since she was like 6 or something crazy like that. And she decided to retire from skating at age 16 after the Beijing Olympics because it felt just like it was a job for her at this point, and that, you know, she was a kid and she was worked too hard. And then I think maybe like a little over 2 years ago, she was on a ski trip and going down the hill that fast made her miss the adrenaline that came with competing and with skating. And she asked her coach if she could come back to competing. And he thought that she meant like as in college. Like he was like, oh, yeah, you should, you know, try out for a college team. Like that would be cool if you did college competition. And she kind of asserted herself and said, no, I want to do actual competition. Like, I want to compete at Worlds. I want to try for the Olympics. I miss skating. And apparently, there's, like, been a ton of interviews about this. They had, like, a 2-hour-long phone call where he tried to convince her not to rejoin skating just because it was going to be hard and she was going to fail a lot more than she probably succeeded. And she said, no, I want to do this for the process. I want to do it on my own terms. I want to make it fun. I want to, you know, have this attitude of play. And then she just, you know, killed it at the Olympics. Like, I've watched that routine so many times where she's just like so full of joy. And obviously she knew that she killed the routine. Like, I think when you have that sort of athletic performance where you know that you have done the best that you could and that you are most likely going to win, but even if not, you know that you just did an insane job. That's kind of how she stepped off the ice, just full of joy. Like, she, you know, like the clip where she's like, let's effing go, like, I killed that. Like, and it's just so nice to see kind of, you know, that attitude of joy and of play. And the article that I read, it's from Substack. It was called The Rise of Play Among Youth Culture. Young people are growing tired of doomerism, edgelords, and nonchalance, and now a new counterculture is taking shape, the rise of playfulness. And we're going to dive deep into this after, you know, I play our first couple songs. But it's basically saying that play is an attitude shift where connection is valued over consumption and, you know, kind of honing in on transformative experiences, that youth are kind of looking to enjoy the process rather than the outcome after these, like, years of, like, hustle culture. And they talk about Alyssa Liu kind of like noticing that she has a completely relaxed, gleaming figure skater gliding through the ice during the performance, filled with crushing expectations with an attitude that can only be described as playful. And I would agree, she just looks so playful and fun, like she's having fun out there, and that's what's different. Like, you know, I've seen a lot of comparisons to, you know, those elite Russian figure skaters who are like emaciated and worked to the bone at like age 14, and they're hitting triples and quads and doing these really clean routines, but it's obvious that it's like harsh. Like, they are not having fun out there. They are doing this to win. She's just having fun, and that's, I think, what is awesome. And we're going to talk more about that. But first, I wanted to start off today's show with her two songs, or two of her songs that she used during the Olympics. The first is Stateside plus Stateside Remix with Zara Larsson by Pink Panthers and Zara Larsson, which in and of itself is a playful song. It is great. I think Zara Larsson is having a great moment of just like reinvention and kind of like leaning into that youthful playfulness. Like, you know, after the meme of like Symphony happened with the dolphin, she's just like captured that whole vibe on her tour. I don't know if you've seen any videos where she's just like dressing like a Winx fairy Barbie doll, like just dancing, bringing kids up on stage to dance, like just having a lot of fun at her concerts. And it's like really revived her career. And then we're going to listen to MacArthur Park by Donna Summers, which was part of Alyssa's winning routine. But we're going to listen to these two, and then we will be back to talk more about playfulness, and I'll see you guys then. I'm freezing outside, I feel my skin tight, my coat is inside, while I look up at you, I tried your pain right, but when you're in tonight, tell me when is the next time I'll run into you, it sounds insane right, I'll take the same fight, wait at your bedside, I'll land right next to you, I'm going stateside, but I'll see you tonight, tell me how did a girl like me get into you.
Steel, it ran one step ahead as we followed in the dance. MacArthur's Park is melting in the dark, all the sweet green icing.
All right, you just listened to Stateside by Pink Panthers and Zara Larsson, and then MacArthur Park by Donna Summer, two of Alyssa Liu's amazing routine songs. She's so awesome. I would hope that she would, like, mess with me if I knew her in real life. I feel like she'd like me, maybe. I don't know. She's so cool. I saw an interview of her recently where she had this quote talking about how, like, she doesn't really feel a lot of pressure or doesn't get as nervous as she used to because she's accepted that, like, she connects with everything that she experiences, but she tries not to attach to anything, which is an insane mindset to gain at age 20. Like, I'm trying to do that. I know I'm only 2 years older than her, but, like, that is an insane accomplishment to achieve. I know, like, adults that still don't know how to do that. And so I've been trying to repeat that line to myself during Shavasana and yoga. I'm like, I'm connected with everything, I'm attached to nothing. So I need to know, like, what philosophy book she's reading, the name of her therapist. I would love to know. But anyways, we're going to talk about this article because this was kind of the, I guess, tipping point for the inspiration behind today's show. I think, too, just, you know, as I've gotten older, like, as I've hit my 20s, I have realized that, you know, when you're in your early 20s, there is this kind of notion where I think a lot of people decide where to draw the line of needing to grow up. And while I do certainly agree to an extent that, you know, you have to take more responsibility, learn how to be a responsible human being as an adult, I think a lot of the time people misconceive getting older with, you know, losing that sense of play. Like, I think even some of my closest friends kind of look down on people that have that innate sense of playfulness because they're kind of seen as immature. And I think there's a difference between being immature and being playful. I think, you know, I know plenty of people who do have that very, like, young, kind of buoyant, kiddish energy, but still, like, have such, like a sense of responsibility still. Like, they're still an adult, but they're just playing. Like, I don't know how to explain it. But this article really talks about how play is, like, on a comeback, like, and this sense of playfulness within youth culture. And it's kind of like how in 2018 and 2019, the youth mental health crisis really came to the forefront. I was in high school, but I do distinctly remember even my high school really implementing new mental health resources, like pushing mental health initiatives, starting having more like assemblies and talks and like clubs based around mental health. Like, mental health really came to the forefront, I think, in that late 2010s, where like teenagers really were seen as like, these are people that are struggling. Mental health is real. Like, we have to really emphasize it in kind of starting with that younger teenage. But now I've seen it spread to like the workplace, to older people as well. And also in 2018 and 2019, I know I remember that's when the rise of very parasocial creator to fan relationships kind of gained popularity. And we're going to talk about that later with how that's affected music and how playfulness has kind of bled into a lot of newer artists because of this like parasocial relationship where like creator and fan are almost friends now. They exist within the same community where like, you know, I think of in 2018, 2019, some of the main creators there are like these YouTubers that are gaining a lot of popularity from like just doing vlogs of like living their daily life, kind of talking to the camera as if it's your friend on FaceTime. Like, I was obsessed with Emma Chamberlain when she first gained popularity, and really all she did was just drive around in her car and talk to the camera, and that kind of became like, that's your friend. And so these parasocial creator to fan relationships gained even more popularity in the pandemic. Early 2020, friendship centered creators and power duo podcasts really like blew up, right? Like, we have these podcasts where like it's over Zoom and it's like four teenage friends just kind of talking, being silly. You had like the rise of TikTok because in 2020 everyone was at home, very parasocial. And also just like, I remember, you know, in 2022, like a lot of my friends in general like play like together online became like our form of connection. Like, my mom always says how she remembers COVID not only by like the lockdown, but by hearing like my friends over FaceTime in my room all night long. Like, me and my friends would group FaceTime every single night. We would play like stupid online games. We would play Among Us. We would play, you know, like just like stupid stuff over FaceTime, talking into the small hours of the night. We would read books together, like creating any sense of community that we could. And then I looked up in 2023, the Surgeon General actually announced that there was a loneliness epidemic, not just a pandemic, a loneliness epidemic, where one of two adults said that they were lonely. And among 18 to 29 year olds, right in that younger people age group, the rate is 24% for frequently or always lonely. And I think this kind of makes sense based off like the personal anecdotes that I've heard from, you know, my friends who have just graduated, where like college and high school, community is kind of built for you, right? Like K through 12, community is built in because you have to be at school for 7 hours a day. So your friends at school, that's your community. If you're doing sports, if you're doing clubs, community is kind of already filtered into your day. And then in college, it's a little bit harder. You have to find your friend group, whatever. But community is still kind of built in because you're all on campus together. So it's a lot easier to make friends. All my friends at school live less than a 10-minute walk from me. We do a lot of the same stuff together. We have, you know, a yoga group chat. We have a book club group chat. We have, you know, a going out and pre-gaming group chat. We have so many, like, different little mini communities within this big community. We have the sorority group chat, like, all that stuff. Once you graduate, you have to do that all on your own. Unless you're, like, best friends with everyone that you work with, you have to do that on your own. You have to make an effort to do things on your own. And the people that I know that are doing the best out of college have really worked to create a community. Like, they've made, you know, the book clubs. They've made the group chats of their friends and plan to go out every weekend. They, you know, consistently chat in, like, the old group chats. Like, I know that, like, a bunch of my friends that graduated last year, that whole girl group, like, still texts a lot, still goes on trips together, like, makes time for each other in ways that, like, I know a lot of people that I've graduated do not. But anyways, in 2025, niche social clubs, members-only spaces became kind of the buzz. Like, a lot of, I think, run clubs became super popular. Like, there's a lot of new, like, exclusive, like, buy-in, and they'll give you, like, a location with a random group of people, and you, like, eat dinner there. Like, dinner parties became a big thing. Like, it's very, like, commercialized kind of now. And now, the author of this article argues, also, sorry, I'm talking so long, but this, I found this so interesting, like, sociologically and, like, anthropologically. But there's this shift to play. So, like, they kind of lay it out where, like, 2018, 2019, there's a mental health crisis. There's vulnerable content, parasocial creator connections. 2020 to 2023, there's this loneliness epidemic where friend group power duo creators kind of come to the rise. Casual podcasts kind of come to the rise. 2024 to 2025, community is really on the rise where members-only clubs and social clubs and third spaces come to exist. You know, all those lookalike contests, even niche gatherings and URL to IRL communities. We've kind of transferred back into real life because people are sick of online after the pandemic. So in 2026, the shift is to play. And we talked about Alyssa Liu, but this is kind of, you know, feeding into from a psychological and neuroscience perspective. Play is a voluntary, intrinsically motivated activity where the process takes priority over the outcome. And it is one of the most critical mechanisms through which the developing brain wires itself for social competence, emotional regulation, creativity, and cognitive flexibility. And the people that I know that are the most playful are the most socially regulated or emotionally regulated, socially competent, creative, very flexible. They go with the flow. Nothing really upsets them. They might be slower to anger because they're okay with kind of shifting and being unafraid to fail. It kind of all blends together. So in adulthood, the need for play doesn't disappear. It never disappears. We always should be playing. But it's often suppressed because we think that we need to be rigid. We think that we need to be serious. We're adults now. But that can lead to rigid thinking, social isolation. I'm going to give a few personal anecdotes soon, but, like, it is just so interesting because it's no surprise that, you know, this generation that spent our entire adolescence watching every facet of society kind of turn code red, giving birth to, like, and I hate that I'm about to use these words, but, like, looksmaxers, doomers, nonchalant culture, like, I know, like, even, like, nihilism. Like, I remember at 16, like, no hate to this person, like, love him, he's one of my really good friends, but when he was 16, it was like nothing matters, like literally nothing matters, we're all gonna die, like the planet is dying, like whatever. And I hated that because I was like, why do you guys have no hope for the future? Like, we need to play, we need to be hopeful. But anyways, it's just like it's been 6 years since COVID disrupted day-to-day life and 4 years since AI came into the mainstream. And with it, I feel that a growing desire to take control of the future really is building, whether we, you know, believe it or not. And it's kind of like this rebellious spirit of, like, let's be playful, like, let's create community. And it's super interesting. But I feel like I've rambled for a while, so we're going to take a quick break, and then I'll come back to talk about my own personal experiences with play and why I think it's so important. But I was, you know, trying to think of like playful music, playful songs. And, you know, I think that I also watched a video recently about, you know, like music genre and why we like the music we like and the psychological aspects of that and how genres develop. And what was really interesting was pop punk was like rose from like, instead of taking like the anger of punk and like it like twists it into like kind of a hopeful sort of energy where like the energy isn't anger, it's like kind of more joy, but it's still kind of rocky, like punk or pop rock. Like, it's very interesting how pop rock and pop punk like kind of developed, where it's like stemming from that anger but kind of choosing to like be more hopeful and optimistic. But, you know, I always think of, you know, pop punk, pop rock, you know, that kind of genre of music as play music. And it's been nice out, so I've been listening to a ton of these songs. But I have a few songs. We're going to listen to three of songs that I like to listen to, you know, when it's playtime, when it's go outside time, play with your friends outside. And these inspire a sense of play in me. But we'll listen to three and then we'll be right back. And I'm going to keep them a surprise, but I'll see you then.
This world is gonna pull through. Don't
All right, you guys just listened to You Get What You Give by the New Radicals, All These Things That I've Done by the Killers, and Song 2 by Blur. Some good pump up, playful songs. Anyways, we're going to keep talking about play. So the article that I read, and then just like some other articles, kind of argues that, you know, the meaning of life is play, where the philosophy is like the power of play developmentally, but also like the attitude that we bring to life. So a playful attitude kind of encourages breaking out of social expectations that are placed on us, kind of like what I was talking about, like not refusing to grow up, but kind of, you know, embracing that childlike energy. It celebrates caring boldly and openly. So like kind of relates to like being vulnerable, like living life, you know, kind of, we've talked about this many times on this show before, like living life kind of more with your heart on your sleeve, and enables us to have the courage to live a life of our own. In short, we believe play unlocks confidence, confidence enables care, and care sustains community. So it's like creating community through play is like the best way to be successful and to have a happy life, is kind of like what it's arguing, because play-based, you know, events, community allow for greater confidence, because there's like a natural kind of egolessness that engaging in play brings to life. Like when you're silly, when you don't really care, like there's no ego, like, you know, not to quote Austin Butler on The Train, but like embarrassment's an underexplored emotion. Like if you're unafraid to be embarrassed by being silly, then you kind of have this lightness that like draws other people to you. Like I know that like there are people I know that like some people will be like, oh, they're embarrassing because they're so silly, but it's like I find them just so wonderful, because it's like they literally do not care. Like they're just there to have a good time, to enjoy, you know, the time that they're having, the people around them. Like, and that's kind of something that I strive to do as well. Like I think that like I try to bring a sense of like I'm not gonna let, you know, things that might embarrass most people embarrass me, because I'm being my authentic self. Like I don't want me being silly to be thought of as embarrassing, because like everyone's silly, like, and people are at their best when they're at their silliest. Like, you know, like my mom even always says, she's like, I can tell that you're friends with someone when you act the way you act at home around them, like when you're just very like silly and goofy and like being kind of annoying, but like just like goofing off, like being weird just like in front of other people. Like being weird and being silly like shows that you have this sense of egolessness, this sense of safety, that you're not afraid to be like weird around someone. And that's play, just being weird around each other. And you know, a playful attitude I think is going to kind of shift, and we'll talk more about this later, as like a counterculture to nonchalance, because like it's an act of rebellion against social norms, expectations. You know, it's an attitude that encourages us to think about the risks that we want to take, the attitude that we want to show towards others, and the life that we want to live. So, like, Alyssa Liu, like, her playfulness and her chalance and her, you know, enjoying the process, doing this skating on her own terms, like, she's kind of reshaping this world that's, like, been so dominated by these social norms of, like, women, female skaters should be extremely thin, they should be extremely, like, put together, kind of looking like a ballet dancer out there. Like Alyssa Liu comes out there, her hair is striped, she's got the thing in her lip, she's obviously very alternative, like she's picking her own music, she's dancing to, you know, I can't never remember how to say it, Lafay, it looks like Lafay, you know what I'm talking about. Like she is just, you know, she's cursing on national television because she's so amped up that she won. But like you forget, like she is an athlete, like she launches herself into the air, spins 3 times on blades, and then lands on ice. Like that is insane. Like, you know, like, and she's playing out there, like that's awesome. Like, so it's like when you self-actualize and free yourself from societal expectations and do things on your own terms, it's invigorating. And like that can even be as little as like, you know, like, okay, this is a dumb example, but like I have this denim hat that I love. I bought it at Free People. I love my denim hat. I wear it out. And, you know, like my friends make fun of me for it because like it's kind of a style choice. It's a choice. But I love my denim hat. Like I'm going to wear it and I don't care. Like I'm going to be silly and I'm going to wear it. And like if people call me Oliver Twist, like I don't care. Like it's my hat. I like it. I, like, you know, it, I think it's cool. Like I don't care. And I'm playing with, you know, with my style. Like, you can play with your style, you can play with your music. Like, the things that bring you joy are the things that, that's play. You play sports. You play an instrument. And they should be fun. And that's, you know, I think my argument here is just, like, play. The meaning of life is play. And to give you some more anecdotes, like, some of the best friendships and best friendship memories that I have in adulthood are centered around play, right? Like, as kids, it's so easy. Like, you go up the street, does Sophia want to come out and play? You don't really do that as adults, you know? Like, you make coffee dates and, like, oh, do you want to come out with us? Do you want to come out with us? Bring back, do you want to come play? Because I have experienced that multiple times, and some of my best friendships came from it. To give you some examples, freshman year, my second semester, I had, like, dropped from Rush. I was going kind of through a tough time. I, like, you know, was transitioning friend groups. Like, I just wasn't really feeling like the people that I first, you know, hung out with. Like, I love them a lot, but, like, maybe, you know, like, they weren't aligning with, like, who I wanted to kind of become in college. And so I, like, kind of started hanging out more with another group of people. And the first time I hung out with them, my good friend Katie now, one of my best friends, it was her birthday yesterday, HBD Katie, invited me over to her dorm. She lived in La Plata, to her floor, and said, do you want to come play cards with us tonight? Group-based community play game activity. And I stayed there till, like, 3 a.m. playing cards, playing Cambio. And those girls and, like, guys too, like, that whole group of people became my friends in college that I'm still friends with to this day. Like, senior year, like, I'm still friends with, I would say, almost every single one of them. And it was because of play. And then, to give you another example, this past summer, I lived in Rhode Island, obviously, and I lived with my best friend Emma, which was awesome. But we didn't really have a lot of other friends, and Emma worked a ton. She made, like, a ton of money this past summer. Like, her grind and, like, her drive to work is, like, very inspiring. But, like, there was a lot. I was on a very different schedule because she was serving, I was nannying. So we basically were, like, ships in the night. Like, I would be up early, she would be back late. And I, you know, like, we had some other friends, but, like, I wanted to make some of my own friends too in Rhode Island. And one night, we were out with our friend Annie, who also goes here, who's, like, one of my best friends. And we went out. It was, like, this, like, impersonator guy was performing at one of the bars. It was weird. But, like, we were dancing a lot. And we found this group of, like, other kids around our age that were also, like, really dancing. And we introduced ourselves to them. We were dancing with them the whole night. And then they all left. And I will admit, I only did this because I thought that one of the guys was cute. We were just friends the entire summer. Nothing came of this. He's a really nice guy. But when they were leaving, I, like, ran to the window, put my phone number up against the glass, and I was like, please give me your number. Like, this was so fun. This kid, Brandon, gave me his number, and then the next day invited me to come play spike ball with him and his friends. Like, there, it was very obviously, like, platonic vibes, but, like, what a shift to just be like, come play with us. And, like, I would play spike ball with them, like, twice a week, and then we all became really good friends. We hung out the rest of the summer, and, like, that was through play. Like, do you want to come play with us? Like, we're gonna do this activity, like, you know, come play. And, you know, another example, this past semester, me and my friend Caro were studying at the library, and her, like, friends Zach and Lucas, which, shout out, they texted me that they were listening, hi guys, we now have a book club together, but they were, like, also studying the library, and we turned into this huge, like, study session for finals where, like, we were quizzing each other and there was points involved, and, like, I was, like, reviewing, like, teaching as if I was, like, a teacher, and, like, they were my students, and it was, like, fun. Like, it turned this, you know, activity that I didn't want to do into play, and, like, I aced that exam because I, like, made it fun for myself. And, like, all of these people that I'm mentioning, like, have that very playful attitude, that, like, sense of, like, not taking life too seriously, like, wanting to, like, create spaces where, like, there's freedom to, like, play and be safe with one another, and, like, just, like, really awesome. And, like, some of my best friendship memories all kind of stemmed from play. So maybe the meaning of life is play. And we'll talk more about this countercultural shift later and just about like what you guys have talked about with play. But we're going to do some more music. And I feel like I had to talk about... Wait, actually, no, I'm going to save this. We're going to play some more like kind of pop punky playful songs that I just really enjoy. So we'll play 4 actually, and then we'll be back. But we're going to start off with what my friend Mary calls such a great song, just because I love it so much. And I play it all the time. This is My Own Worst Enemy, and then we'll be back.
Took her out, it was a Friday night. I walk alone to get the feeling right. We started making out, and she took off my pants. But then I turned on the TV, and that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23. And I still more abuse my TV shows. What the hell is ADD? My friends say I should act my age. What's my age again? What's my age again? Drive home, I called her mom from a payphone. I said I was the cops and your husband's in jail. The state looks down on sodomy, and that's about the time that bitch hung up on me. Nobody likes you when you're 23, and I still won't abuse my bank phone calls. What the hell is call ID? My friends say I should have my age. What's my age again? What's my age again? About the time she walked away from me. Nobody
nobody likes you when you're 23, and you still act like you're in freshman year. What the hell is wrong with me? My friends say I should act my age. What's my age again? That's about the time that she broke up with me. No one should take themselves so seriously. With many years ahead to fall in line, why would you wish down on me? I'll never wanna act my age. What's my age again? What's my age again?
Let's make